In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. If the Pharisee from today's Gospel had come today to church instead of going to the temple, he might stand up just before receiving communion and cry out, "Lord, I am worthy to receive you." Put bluntly like that, the Pharisee's religious position seems so very obviously foolish. And yet the contrast between the prayer of the Pharisee and the prayer of the publican gives each of us the opportunity today to examine the nature of our own spiritual life. In a world, Jesus wishes to teach us today that the only authentic basis of our spiritual life is a profound humility. Now, I want to erase from our minds a false notion of humility, which is a parody of true Christian humility. True humility is simply the acknowledgement of our real status before God. In fact, created in the image of God and likeness of God, we do have a lot of which to be proud. Proud is the best sense of that word. Think of all that you have built with your family in your life. You have many reasons to be proud of you. In the immortal words of St. Leo the Great, "O Christian, acknowledge your dignity, and becoming a partner in the divine nature, refuse to return to the old baseness by degenerate conduct. Remember the head and the body of which you are a member." Here, however, we'll most have the impression that the Pharisee is asking God to thank him, as if he's a Pharisee, is doing God a favor by being so wonderful. Fasting twice a week, giving money to the temple. His great folly is to think that he himself is the source of the graces he has received. It is true that he is not a thief. It's true that he's not a murderer. But is this due to his own efforts or motivated by love of God? Dear faithful, in everything we do, everything, indeed, in our very being itself, there are two principles at work. God, who created us, and the nothingness from which we were made. And so, whatever good we may possess or perform really comes from God and not from us. Of course, we have to cooperate with God's grace. But grace itself is exactly that. Grace, something that is freely given, something that we don't deserve by itself. Whatever in us is not good, whatever whether it be a grave sin or a slight imperfection, that is what really comes from us. What have you that you have not received? And if you have received, what do you glory as if you have not received it? Tell St. Paul. Dear faithful, the proud man, the proud in a bad sense, the proud man does not thank God, since he attributes all his religious observance to his own merits. He does not think to ask God for any favors, not even for the gift of final perseverance, because that would require him to acknowledge his own needfulness. This is why the publican went down justified, and the Pharisee did not. Often a person who commits a grave sin, unless his conscience has been falsified, makes such a fervent act of contrition at seeing his weakness that he ends up advancing in holiness. Whereas the lukewarm, overconfidence in their own merits, slip slowly but surely into the abyss without even realizing it. So please God, let us see ourselves the way we really are. According to the Psalms, God has had regard to the prayer of the humble, and he has not despised their petition. On the other hand, St. James tells us, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. In other words, the principal disposition we should bring to prayer is humility. St. Paul again warns us, he that thinks himself to stand, let him take heed lest he fall. God withdraws his actual graces from the proud. If he allowed them to fall into sin as a result of their pride, it is in fact for their own good. By allowing the prideful to see that without me you can do nothing, God endeavors to bring them back to the right path. That is why our sins should actually help us in our spiritual life. We should, like the publican, learn from our sins and use them to cultivate a greater humility. The religion of the Pharisee, according to Cardinal Newman, is a religion of the natural man in every age and place. Often very beautiful on the surface, but worthless in God's sight. Good as far as it goes, but worthless and hopeless because it does not go further, because it is based on self-sufficiency and results in self-satisfaction. So this parable, dear friends, also shows us that appearances can be deceiving. To the eyes of his contemporaries, the Pharisee is a model of piety. The publican seems to be an outcast who ought not really dare come into the temple. Are we also guilty of making rash judgments like this? Do we fall into self-complacency and routine in our religious practices, or do we animate them with a real sense of contrition and gratitude? Do we pray sincerely for the conversion of sinners and not believers? Or are we content to sneer? The lesson we should take away from all this is what Jesus tells us at the end of today's gospel. Everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted. In saying this, Jesus shows himself truly to be his mother's son. Remember what Mary said in her canticle of thanksgiving. He has put down the mighty from their seat and has exalted the humble. But there is no slavish, false humility in the Magnificat. He that is mighty has done great things to me, but why? Why? Because he has regarded the humility of his handmaid. Let us therefore ask Mary to obtain for us the blessing of true humility, combined with gratitude for God's grace and a fruitful sorrow for our sins. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.